depersonalize. For ordinary people, identity view, the belief that the experience is mine or the experiencer is me, stubbornly remains intact, contaminating our perception of almost everything that arises from the body and mind as self. If delusion leads us to spontaneously grasp them as mine or myself, then the remedy is to depersonalize or disidentify and see phenomena as they really are, as impersonal. We can mentally label them as not belonging to me each time we recognize their presence. This is paying attention to the true nature of phenomena. For example, say you feel sorrowful over the separation from your beloved one. By identifying the sorrow as me and belonging to me, the sorrow will intensify due to clinging to the emotion as self. If you can depersonalize the sorrow and mentally note not myself dispassionately, the sorrow will not take root in the heart and cause you to lose control over your emotions. This process is similar to pulling on the string that connects all the beads in a necklace. Once the string is gone, there is no necklace. When we regard our emotion as self and as permanent, we freeze or pause the emotion. Our clinging interferes with the arising and passing nature of the emotion. As a result, the emotion seems lasting and real, owing to our holding on to it and false identification with it. It's not tenable to view sorrow as self, for sorrow soon passes away when conditions change. If sorrow were self, then it would follow that I, myself, would pass away along with the sorrow. All emotions are conditionally produced from moment to moment. They undergo birth, aging, and death, and therefore are impermanent and beyond one's control. To regard them otherwise is a wrong way of perceiving things, giving rise to defilements of craving and view. One of my students in the USA shared her experience with me. During a personal retreat last year, I had an interesting experience regarding feeling. I was sitting in the afternoon and the mind was fairly calm, resting on the breath easily. I started to get some pain in my legs where they touched the cushion. When I could no longer ignore the pain, I decided to investigate it. I tried to separate the unpleasant feeling from the sensation. I wanted to see the unpleasant aspect of the pain only. Just the unpleasant nature, separate from the actual sensation itself. It was difficult to see at first, and also difficult to bear. It seemed to encompass my whole mind and was also wrapped up with a feeling of resistance which caused tension in my head and chest. I tried to relax and let go of the resistance and tension, but it was too great. Suddenly, a thought entered my mind. It was a quote from Sayale Susila's articles that I had read recently. It said, "What feels the feeling? Feeling feels the feeling." As soon as this thought arose, the unpleasant feeling separated completely from my mind and jumped out in front of me. It's hard to explain, but it's as if the unpleasant feeling was sitting in front of me, separate from me. The resistance and tension completely disappeared because I no longer identified unpleasant feeling as mine, although it was still there. I was completely amazed and felt very relaxed and free. Then I turned my attention back to my legs. I wanted to know what was happening there. To my surprise, there was no pain at all. There was only sensation coming and going in different parts of my legs. Once again, amazing. Through the rest of the day and retreat, I played with separating feelings from myself. Pleasant feelings while eating, unpleasant feelings while sitting. It was quite entertaining. I had never experienced anything like it, nor thought anything like it was possible. I realized that trying to let go of craving or resistance is not as effective as seeing feelings as not mine. Once I have disidentified with the pleasant or unpleasant feeling, the respective craving or resistance disappears on its own. To depersonalize or disidentify is to pay wise attention to or mentally note arising phenomena as not me, not mine, not myself, but merely conditionally produced phenomena. I would like to quote part of a letter from another student from the USA to see the immediate result of depersonalization of whatever phenomena one experiences. During the last 3-day retreat, at one point I felt so miserable after realizing everything is impermanent, I could not face the real world surrounding me. After arriving home, I recalled that you once taught us how to contemplate suffering. You said to see suffering as suffering. Suffering is phenomena, and suffering is not a self. The effect was immediate after I contemplated in this way. My suffering went away in no time, and I felt the great pleasure of being relieved. Knowing that nothing really belongs to me, look upon whatever states that arise dispassionately. See whatever arises as foreign, as a third party, as empty, which is to say, devoid of self. In this way, we can free ourselves from entanglement. From a psychological point of view, this way of looking at things allows us to step back. We separate emotionally and are thereby relieved of the worry and fear that in truth do not belong to us. In reality, mental and physical phenomena momentarily arise, perform a function, and naturally fall away. One of my students, a clinical psychologist, used my method of practicing mindfulness, wise attention, and investigation of dependent origination in her clinical practice to treat patients and achieve significant results. She shared the following information with me. As a clinical practitioner in psychology, I found Sayale Susila's teaching very inspiring, especially the practice of mindfulness and wise attention. I used this method to treat some of my patients in the clinic by asking them to recognize the arising feelings merely as feelings and to separate I from those feelings. I asked them to learn to contemplate. The feeling in presence is simply a feeling. This feeling is not mine. It is not permanent. Some patients would raise doubts. It sounds like some kind of self-hypnosis or self-deceit. I explained to them, this notion is not a fabrication created by our mind. It is indeed the true nature of all natural phenomena. Feeling is only a phenomenon that is subjected to dependent origination. It comes and goes constantly. It is impermanent, and the brain needs to be trained to comprehend. I also shared my own experience with them. On an occasion when I had a quarrel with my mother-in-law, I used this contemplation method to recognize the arising and cessation of my own feelings. Meanwhile, I also contemplated the feelings from my mother-in-law and recognized the arising and cessation of her feelings too. Those feelings simply existed as feelings. They were neither mine nor hers. They were conditioned, impermanent phenomena. One patient responded very well to this method. She said she was habitually obsessed with the unpleasant feelings as her own feeling, and it was extremely difficult to separate herself out of them. Achieving this knowledge is a significant improvement of the patient. To follow up, I guided her to learn to comprehend that all suffering is conditioned phenomena. Things happened because of the conditioning events, not because of her, nor to target her. Investigate. Investigation is the mental factor of wisdom. Although it is one of the 7 factors of enlightenment, it is largely ignored in the practice of insight meditation. To remedy this, it is sometimes helpful to ask, if that phenomena is neither me nor mine, what is it and where does it come from? At times it is appropriate to investigate both the proximate and root cause of a phenomena. For example, when abusive words contact the ear, unpleasant feeling arises in our minds. After mindfully recognizing and accepting this unpleasant feeling, avoid the trap of spontaneously identifying with it by depersonalizing it through investigation. Look at what the unpleasant feeling is dependent on. Such unpleasant feeling comes from the ear's contact with abusive words. Ear contact is the proximate cause. Unpleasant feeling is the effect. This is merely conditionally arisen cause and effect. When abusive words stop impinging the ears, contact ceases, then feeling ceases. Of course, most of us remain embroiled in unpleasant feeling that arises from contact with abusive words even after the ear contact has ceased. What, then, is the root cause of ongoing suffering after the proximate cause, ear contact, has subsided? It is rooted in the ignorance that identifies the past unpleasant feeling as mine and myself. Although the abusive words have ceased to impinge the ear, we hold on to the unpleasant feeling that has passed and think, I am hurt. I feel so miserable. They abused me. Here you can see all the thoughts are centered on the cherished self. Due to these ill-directed thoughts, memory repeatedly impinges on the mind base rather than the ear. The memory has a much longer life and causes suffering to arise again and again. Is it startling to find out why the words of praise are pleasing to the ears and the words of abuse hurt, though both are merely sounds? By tracing the causes and conditions of suffering, we tackle them at their root and understand this feeling was just a conditionally arisen phenomena governed by causes and conditions. Neither cause, condition, nor conditionally arisen phenomena is a self or belong to a self. With the arising of such insight, we transform the suffering into knowledge. Without discerning cause and effect, one might fall prey to the illusion that there is a static, unchanging self, as happened to Venerable Chana. Venerable Chana, after listening to a discourse given by a senior monk connected with the impermanent and not-self nature of the five aggregates, he thought, I understand that the five aggregates are impermanent and not self, but still my mind does not leap up, grow confident, steadfast, released by the relinquishing of all acquisitions, the ending of craving, dispassion, cessation. Instead, agitation and clinging arise, and my mind turns back thinking, but who then is the self? Venerable Chana was full of doubt and perplexity. With the help of Venerable Ananda, who taught him to see things in a cause and effect relationship without an abiding and permanent self, he finally made a breakthrough in the Dhamma and attained arahantship. Having understood that all phenomena occur in a cause and effect relationship without an owner, we can proceed to contemplate impermanence.